time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board of North Coast Region to consider adoption of a revised National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit for the town of Windsor for the Windsor Wastewater Treatment Reclamation and Disposal Facility, order number R1-2013-0042. This item's been properly noticed. Will all those expecting testimony in this matter please rise? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Wow, whole bunch of you. Do you swear and affirm to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes.
Fantastic. I've only got a handful of speaker cards, so anybody that can hang on speaker cards, feel free. We'll start with Ms. Kathy Goodwin.
So good afternoon, Chairman Noren and members of the board.
Good job.
So my name is Kathleen Goodwin, staff to the regional board, and I'll be giving the staff presentation for item 7 in your agenda package this afternoon. This item is a public hearing to consider waste discharge requirements, order number R1-2013-0042 for the town of Windsor wastewater treatment, reclamation, and disposal facility. This permit will serve as an NPDES permit for the next 5 years and also serves as a master reclamation permit, very similar to Santa Rosa. At this time, I would like to enter the file into the record. And I also want to point out that you received a late revision sheet. I don't know if it was last night or this morning. It has two very minor revisions, but that will be important when it comes time to adopt. So during my presentation, I will be giving you a brief overview about the facility, and then I'll move on and talk about the NPDES permit that Windsor has operated under for the last 6 years. And then I'll talk about the proposed permit, address the significant comments that we received, and staff's responses to those comments. Windsor's wastewater facility is located several miles north of our offices, as shown on this map. Now I just need to figure out, do I have a...
There's a pointer in there.
Here we are at the regional board offices, and Windsor's wastewater treatment facility is just a few miles north of here. And I'd like to use this slide to orient you with regards to some of the key features of Windsor's storage and irrigation facilities. So Windsor has 6 effluent storage ponds. 3 of them are here and 3 right here on the Windsor Golf Course that they use to store their tertiary treated and disinfected effluent prior to either using that to discharge to Mark West Creek or distribute it to reclamation or send it to the geysers recharge pipeline. Windsor's storage capacity is 144 million gallons. And Windsor has an expansive recycled water system for a facility of their size. Currently, they reclaim, I'll just point out a few main places, at the Windsor Golf Course, Windsor High School, at a number of urban irrigation sites, including a large subdivision where they use the water for front and backyard irrigation. And then they have a number of agricultural use sites as well. Not all of the sites fit on one slide, but they are all listed in attachment G1 in your agenda package. And I did want to point out one other thing. These two ponds across the street from our office belong to the airport wastewater plant, but I will be making mention of that plant a little later, so I wanted to point that out. So you've seen this slide before, but I modified it a little fit my presentation. And again, it depicts the Laguna de Santa Rosa watershed shown in these red boundaries. And the Laguna runs from south to north until it reaches Windsor Creek, and then it heads west to its confluence with the Russian River. So this shows the location of Windsor's wastewater treatment plant in relation to its discharge point, which is about 4 miles downstream from the treatment plant. And then I just wanted to orient you and show you where Santa Rosa's main discharge point is. And you'll hear me refer to the lower Marquess Creek watershed. So that is this area of the watershed here. But the entire watershed we're referring to is the Greater Laguna Watershed. And here's a little bit more detail of Windsor's wastewater plant. It includes secondary treatment facilities, including activated sludge basins and secondary clarifiers. And then tertiary treatment is with chemical addition, flocculation, clarification, and then they use sand filters. And then that water moves on to their ultraviolet light disinfection facility for disinfection, and then is, you know, put into storage. A portion of Windsor's treated and UV disinfected effluent is directed to these covered basins here, where it also is dosed with liquid chlorine before it is sent to Windsor High School. I might add that Windsor High School and a couple of other facilities also use the water for toilet flushing, so having the chlorination is helpful, you know, in those uses. The facility has a dry weather capacity of 2.25 million gallons per day and a wet weather capacity of 7.2 million gallons per day. And one other thing, the creek that you see here is Windsor Creek. I just wanted to note that Windsor does not discharge to the creek. Like I mentioned, their discharge point is about 4 miles downstream into Marquess Creek at the Trenton-Healdsburg Bridge. I forgot to mention that. So Windsor's existing permit was adopted by the board in 2007, June of 2007. The 2007 permit did not include the nutrient limits that were included in the 2006 Santa Rosa permit, because at that time, regional board staff had not yet determined the extent of the nutrient and dissolved oxygen impairments within the Greater Laguna watershed. But I'll just mention a few things about that permit. It did include interim and final effluent limits and a compliance schedule for copper, the only California toxics rule priority pollutant that Windsor's monitoring data had showed reasonable potential for at that time. But then a few years later, the permit was readopted, that would be in January 2011, and brought to the board for adoption to remove those copper limits, because Windsor did a special study in Marquess Creek, or of their effluent and the creek, that showed that the receiving water conditions decrease the toxicity and bioavailability of copper in the receiving water, and therefore no longer posed reasonable potential. The permit also was modified to authorize Windsor's use of the geysers recharge pipeline at that time. So, as required by state and federal regulations, Windsor submitted its application report of waste discharge for this permit renewal in December 2011. And they included information to support two specific requests for changes to this permit, and I'll be discussing those requests in just a little bit. The draft order was developed based on information in the report of waste discharge, and also with input from our staff at US EPA and the California Department of Public Health in regard to the recycling requirements. The draft order was released for public review 2013, and comments were accepted through July 22nd. And Windsor submitted the only comment letter on this permit. And then the draft order was revised in response to some of the comments that we received, and the proposed order was released on November 7th through posting on the Regional Water Board website. And that posting included copies of Windsor's comment letter, our staff responses, and other relevant attachments, such as the Fitzgerald memo. This slide highlights some of the main new requirements in Windsor's proposed permit that's before you for adoption today in relation to the 2007 permit, the one that will be expiring upon adoption of this permit. Later, I'll talk a little bit about what changed between the draft order that went out for public review and the proposed order that's before you for adoption. The proposed order includes new effluent limitations for phosphorus and nitrogen, and these limits were not in the 2007 permit. And I'll get into those details in just a little bit. It also includes source control and pretreatment requirements consistent with federal regulations. And the permit also includes more detailed water recycling requirements, which include requirements from our State Water Board Recycled Water Policy, Title 22, and recommendations of California Department of Public Health. The permit also authorizes Windsor's request to implement a joint-use recycled water program that would allow the town to store their tertiary effluent in storage ponds owned by the airport wastewater plant that I pointed out, and then utilize the commingled tertiary effluent for reclamation on the town's recycled water use sites. Also new is an increase in the authorized discharge rate. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit, because it's probably, in addition to the no net loading limit in Windsor's permit, this is the other significant change in their permit. So past permits have allowed Windsor to discharge at 1% of the flow of Mark West Creek for the entire discharge season, which is October 1st through May 14th of each year. So Windsor requested an increase in its authorized discharge rate to 10% of the flow of Mark West Creek. The proposed permit authorizes that increase, but limits it to the period of November 1st through April 30th of each year. And then if there is any discharge in the month of October or May 1st through 14th, the permit limits that discharge to 1% of the flow of Mark West Creek. And we included this limitation because these are the periods during the discharge season when a higher discharge rate poses a greater risk to water quality due to potentially low creek flows combined with higher seasonal temperatures. The permit also includes a seasonal operational goal of 1% for Windsor to focus on, as well as a special study in the receiving water to assess the effects of Windsor's discharge on Mark West Creek in regard to dilution and creek dissolved oxygen concentrations to ensure compliance with the permit requirements. Windsor's purpose in making this request to increase the discharge rate is to obtain some operational flexibility that will allow them to actually maximize the amount of treated effluent retained in storage at the end of each discharge season so that they can maximize that for their reclamation use. Like Santa Rosa, that is one of Windsor's highest goals. When staff evaluated the town's request, we saw that the total volume anticipated to be discharged each discharge season is not expected to increase over what was previously allowed with the 1% all season long. And in fact, it could decrease And we also carefully reviewed Windsor's technical analysis and found that it strongly indicates that this change should not have negative impacts on Mark West Creek. So now I'd like to move from summarizing proposed permit requirements to providing you with a more detailed explanation of the reasonable potential analysis that was done for the Windsor permit. And the reasonable potential analysis for Windsor is very similar to the one for Santa Rosa. So as I go through these next four slides, I won't go into the level of detail that was presented during the Santa Rosa hearing this morning, but I do need to talk about it to have it in the record for the Windsor hearing. And what I'd like to remind you of is that the key to determining if effluent limitations are necessary comes from the federal regulations, and it comes down to the fact that effluent limitations for the protection of water quality are required if the discharge may cause or have the reasonable potential to cause an excursion of any applicable water quality criterion or objective. The reasonable potential analysis for Windsor was based on data that Windsor submitted during the term of its existing permit, and the analysis showed no reasonable potential for priority pollutants, that would be the CTR, California Toxics Rule pollutants, but like Santa Rosa, we found reasonable potential for phosphorus and nitrogen for Windsor. So now I would like to talk about that. You've seen this slide already today, so I'll just say that it states the basin plan water quality objective for biostimulatory substances. And phosphorus and nitrogen are both biostimulatory substances. The reasonable potential analysis for phosphorus and nitrogen included several significant findings, again, that were discussed in detail this morning, so I'm going to summarize. The Laguna and Lower Mark West Creek are uniquely impaired for biostimulatory substances, as evidenced by low dissolved oxygen and high chlorophyll A concentrations, extensive macrophytic plant growth, and in-stream concentrations of phosphorus that exceed the recommended criteria for biostimulatory substances. Regional Board staff's analysis, as summarized in the Fitzgerald memo, demonstrates that phosphorus is the nutrient that is the primary driver of biostimulatory conditions, and also that there is no capacity for the watershed to assimilate additional phosphorus discharges. Windsor's discharge is a point source discharge of phosphorus to Lower Mark West Creek, and during the term of this existing permit that they've been under, Windsor discharged a little over 31,000 pounds of phosphorus, and that would be over a 6-year period. Because Windsor's discharge has reasonable potential to cause or contribute to biostimulatory conditions in Mark West Creek, Windsor's permit must include effluent limits for phosphorus, just like Santa Rosa's. Although Windsor's discharge is also a source of nitrogen, staff's analysis strongly indicates that nitrogen does not contribute to the biostimulatory impairment. Reductions in nitrogen loads beyond current levels are not expected to result in added protection of the beneficial uses or provide significant water quality improvements. Therefore, Regional Board staff concluded that Windsor's discharge proposes no reasonable potential for nitrogen in relation to the biostimulatory water quality objective. So now I'll review the nutrient effluent limitations in Windsor's permit. So let's talk about nitrogen first to close the loop on what I just mentioned. Although we found no reasonable potential with regard to the biostimulatory impairment, we did find reasonable potential for nitrogen to violate the anti-degradation policy. Thus, the proposed permit includes a final effluent limitation for nitrogen that is needed to protect against ammonia toxicity, a problem that has occurred in the Laguna in the recent past. And this nitrogen limit was established following federal regulations and to comply with those regulations. And Windsor's permit includes a limit of 10.5 milligrams per liter, and that limit is based on Windsor's current performance, what they were able to do during the current permit term. And that limit is to ensure that nitrogen in the discharge does not convert to ammonia in the receiving water at levels that could result in toxicity. So now let's talk about phosphorus. Regional Board staff is proposing a no net loading effluent limit for phosphorus for Windsor, just like Santa Rosa's permit. And as you heard during the hearing this morning, it is not feasible to establish a numeric effluent limit for phosphorus, and the BMP-based no net loading effluent limit was determined to be the most effective way to control Windsor's discharges of phosphorus while giving Windsor flexibility for compliance. Since the town demonstrated that it cannot comply immediately with the no net loading effluent limitation, the proposed permit also includes a compliance schedule that gives the town 8 years to achieve compliance with the no net loading effluent limitation. And that will give them time to evaluate means of compliance. And Windsor's compliance options are the same as those for Santa Rosa and include wastewater treatment plant upgrades, water conservation, increased reclamation, and implementation of a nutrient offset program. And the proposed order includes an interim performance-based limit of 7.8 milligrams per liter. So again, the town was the only commenter on this permit. So now I'd like to summarize the most significant comments, and then on a couple of slides following, I'll talk about staff's response to those comments and how they affected the proposed permit. So Windsor requested removal of several permit requirements, including removal of the no net loading limit for phosphorus. And Windsor proposed alternatives to removing the effluent limit, including extending the compliance schedule for phosphorus if the effluent limit was not removed. Windsor also requested removal of the receiving water special study that I mentioned a little bit earlier, and removal of a proposed permit requirement for them to use a U.S. Geological Survey gauge instead of Windsor's own gauge for monitoring stream flow during periods of discharge. Windsor also requested that we add back to the proposed permit temperature receiving water limits that are in its existing permit. And they also asked for modification of several permit requirements, the most significant being a request for the permit to state a 1% seasonal discharge flow limitation as an operational goal. And they also asked for modifications to the ultraviolet light disinfection process requirements. And I might add that all of staff's responses to Windsor's comments are included in the response to comments document in your agenda package. Staff modified the draft permit in response to some, but not all, of Windsor's comments. The most significant changes that were made include providing Windsor with 3 additional years to comply with the no net loading requirement for phosphorus. Windsor had asked for 10 years, and after analyzing the request, staff felt that 8 years was an appropriate amount of time to provide. We also added back the temperature receiving water language that Windsor requested. We changed the 1% seasonal flow limit to an operational limit, and we made minor modifications to the ultraviolet light disinfection requirements. And then a couple of other changes that were made to be consistent with changes made in the Santa Rosa permit included removal of mass-based effluent limits for biochemical oxygen demand and total suspended solids consistent with federal regulations, and removal of sanitary sewer overflow notification and reporting requirements. And then the proposed permit was not changed in response to a few of Windsor's requests, including the fact that we retained the no net loading requirement for phosphorus, that being based on a finding of reasonable potential and to comply with federal requirements. The proposed permit also retains the requirement for Windsor to use the U.S. geological flow gauge. Regional board staff are concerned that Windsor's gauge is not accurate based on field observations and assessments made by staff earlier this year. The permit allows the possibility of Windsor reverting back to use of their own gauge if they demonstrate that concerns related to the accuracy of the gauge are resolved. And finally, the special receiving water study was retained with minor modifications to provide clarity about what we need in that study. And this requirement is important in consideration of the fact that the permit authorizes that increase in discharge rate. And here we are on the final slide. That concludes my presentation, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have. And then after that, staff's recommendation is to open the hearing for public comments and then to adopt the proposed order with the late revisions identified on the executive officer's late revision sheet.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Comments or questions?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Kathy. Good presentation as always. I have a question about the proposed 10% creek flow and the time of year that you're proposing to do that. It seems that winter-based flows can be just as low as summer-based flows. So even a 10% discharge during the low flows that could occur in that winter period, it could potentially create a water quality threat. If stream flow is the same as it is in summertime. Have you considered a flow threshold, maybe using a flow duration curve to see maybe a certain exceed, you know, to discharge at 10% above a certain exceedance?
We have not considered that. Windsor's submittal included a technical analysis, you know, of course, based on monitoring data, you know, that they have collected over, you know, in recent years, you know, based on their 1% flow. But then that was, you know, put through a model to look at what the potential effect of an increase to 10% could mean under different flow scenarios. And that analysis showed, you know, that there wasn't any indication that we would see exceedances of any water quality objectives or threats to beneficial uses. This issue was discussed extensively with our TMDL staff, you know, in relation to the impairments in the Laguna, and that's, you know, how we came up with the conclusion that between November and April, the risk, you know, of adding to any impairments is very, very, very low. But we were concerned that once you start getting into those shoulder seasons of October and May, you know, when seasonal temperatures increase and can have impacts on dissolved oxygen and other, you know, other stream flow characterizations, that's where we felt a need to hold them to the 1%. And chances, you know, the way this has been presented, you know, the use of the 10%, you know, would be probably for, you know, relatively short periods of time so that Windsor can kind of maintain, they have a, I'm trying to blank on what they call it, their storage curve, you know, that shows where they need to be with their effluent storage at any point during the year to maximize reclamation, you know, but to make sure that they don't end up at the end, towards the end of a discharge season with too much water in storage, a big storm, and that where do you put it?
Sure, yeah, and I'm sure they, similarly, the town doesn't want to discharge during low flow periods as well, and it creates create an impairment to the water body, but and in the winter months, you have far more the high flows are more frequent during that period of time, and I understand the intent of doing that. But there's still the risk of having low flow conditions in that time period that can be just as low as summer and potentially create an impairment.
Exactly, like right now.
Right, so that's where I would recommend a flow threshold, maybe above, and not knowing this creek well enough to know, you know, to look at the hydrograph and say, you know, after like a 20% or a 30 or 40% exceedance flow, what's that minimum threshold that staff feels comfortable with that discharge at 10% would be good?
That's something we can chat about.
Okay. And maybe the town might have something to say about that too, understanding what their hydrographs look like a little bit better. So, and then secondly, the comments, I'll shift gears, stay on the same subject, but moving along. I like the retention of the USGS gauge just based on their gauging protocols and procedures. And reading your response to their comments, it looks like you do have opportunity should the GS defund their gauge, because I know that was a concern of the town that it's, you know, operated on a contract, and if that contract goes away, then the GS won't continue operating that gauge until they find funding to do that. So if the town wants to assume that, then you said, well, you have to demonstrate that you're, you know, operating up to, well, maybe not GS standards, but at some certain standard. And I recommend going through a USGS station analysis. They'll provide that, or they have people that can provide station analyses that do an evaluation of basically operating a stream gauge. So that might be something that a standard that you might want to consider for them, just to demonstrate that they're operating up to those certain standards for, you know, recording stage and converting that and maintaining the rating curve and all the things that go along with operating the gauge.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other comments or questions? Okay. Let's take a couple comments, Kathy, see where we go. Thank you very much. I have a couple speaker cards here. The first being, well, actually, funny you say that, because Mr. Richard Burt, Town of Windsor. No, you did really good. You did really good. Good comment.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I'm Richard Gordon, Public Works Director and Town Engineer for the Town of Windsor. And with me is Dave Richardson, who is a consultant to the town from RMC Environmental. I appreciate having this opportunity to address you today on the renewal of our NPDES permit and our waste discharge requirements. At the outset, though, I would really like you to know about the very long, positive working relationship we've had with the Regional Board. And how much we value the staff. Together, we've solved many problems and worked to make improvements and better the environment in Sonoma County. Your staff has listened to our concerns and suggestions and collaborated with us to make a set of requirements that are acceptable to the town. They have responded to 51 comments that we have had about the permit, and we are in agreement with nearly all of those comments. The dialogue that we have had together, I think, has led to a permit that will work to our advantage. We're very proud of the water reclamation system that we have in Windsor. We're one of the first to irrigate a tract of 484 homes with recycled water in Northern California. We have a long history of being one of the first to use recycled water in Sonoma County. We irrigate our parks, our high school. We provide irrigation water to the Santa Rosa Junior College Shone Farm, the Windsor Golf Course, several vineyards in the area. And over the last couple of years, we've been able to tie into the geysers, the Santa Rosa Geysers pipeline, where we're now able to produce green energy for the county. These are examples of our system. We've served as a model for the Regional Board staff for field trips to come and see our facilities, for the Santa Rosa Junior College and Sonoma State classes to come and see our facilities. We're a recipient of the Recycled Water Agency of the Year from the Water Reuse Association. We have a town council that takes their role as environmental stewards very seriously. We have a good history of complying with regulations and working with Regional Board staff. Our history is that we also raise concerns when we disagree with something. We have no disagreement with the 173-page permit that you have before you, except for the no net loading requirement for total phosphorus. On this requirement, we are in opposition. We are not in opposition with the proposition that phosphorus in the Laguna de Santa Rosa is a problem, but we do take exception that Windsor has negatively influenced or contributed to this problem. I don't have any graphs, tables, charts, spreadsheets, equations to describe Windsor's effect on the Laguna, because there is no data. There is no analysis, no correlation, no study to provide us with the science we need to understand any role that Windsor's discharge may have on the Laguna. But instead, I have a story. If I can operate this. This is basically my presentation, this graphic here. The story that must be told about Windsor's role is one that would be difficult to tell even if there was good science to support it. The story goes like this. Windsor, a small community in the northern part of the watershed, is contributing to the impairment of Laguna de Santa Rosa through its seasonal discharge of advanced tertiary recycled water near the tail end of Marquess Creek and toward the end of the Laguna de Santa Rosa. How could the discharge of highly treated water downstream of the main laguna and the swift-moving section of Marquess Creek affect the water quality of a major impairment area that is so far upstream? Well, the thought is that under certain high-flow conditions in the Russian River, that water backs up, reverses flow, and when this happens, the town's discharge runs upstream and deposits out of solution phosphorus on the creek bottom and is taken up in the ecosystem all in a matter of an hour or so before the creek resumes its natural flow and it is washed downstream to the Russian River and out to the Pacific Ocean. This is not reasonable. The story continues. From records, this may have occurred four times since 2009. Understanding that these events last at most an hour or so, and calculating the number of hours there are over the last 4 years, you have a difficult time trying to comprehend these four events, how they could contribute to anything of lasting meaning to the Laguna. This is not reasonable either. What infinitesimal amount from a presumed 3% annual amount of total phosphorus in the watershed could be contributed to the Laguna in an hour or so from Windsor? There's 97% of this phosphorus loading that's occurring somewhere upstream from us. This is 3% of the loading in a year's time. If you figure that there are 200 days of discharge opportunity in a year and there are 24 hours in a day, you can do the simple math to see that a 3% in an hour or so's time is virtually an insignificant, non-detectable amount in the Laguna. And what if there is no discharge during this period of time? This is not reasonable either. Now, I've got to scratch my head a little bit on this one, because this really falls within an imponderable to me as to how Windsor could have some negative effect on the Laguna. But this is the story that you are asked to believe. This is the story you have to believe if you are going to accept that this is a reasonable potential scenario that is so certain that a regulation can be developed from it. That Windsor has a reasonable potential with its minuscule contribution at the near end of Marquess Creek flow to contribute in some significant way to the nutrient loading in the greater Laguna de Santa Rosa, robbing the Laguna somehow of dissolved oxygen. Someone is going to have to show me some analysis, some science, some proof that Windsor's small percentage of phosphorus has any effect on anything. There are no facts to support that Windsor has any negative effect on the Laguna. The reasonable potential analysis is flawed. It is based upon the Fitzgerald Memorandum, which is interesting reading, has good research and presents data, but lacks the science to establish the connection between the town's discharge and the condition of the Laguna. The memorandum is summarized in its last page under a heading, Hydraulic and Hydrologic Phenomena and the Laguna de Santa Rosa Watershed. The concluding section of the memorandum uses words like, available evidence suggests. There are many uncertainties regarding hydrologic phenomena and the dynamics of nutrient fate and transport in the mainstream Laguna and lower Marquess Creek. Suggests. There are many uncertainties. The very word phenomenon commonly means something that we have observed but can't fully explain. I believe that is just what the final section of the memorandum says. We have made observations, done research, collected data, but do not yet understand what is at work in the Laguna, let alone what Windsor's role is in any of this. The last section of the memorandum is a hypothesis, not a factual conclusion based upon scientific analysis. That is yet to be done, based upon the hypothesis put forward in the Fitzgerald memorandum. What we have is a hypothesis that is yet to be proven. We should not be setting regulatory requirements based upon theory. A theory untested is no better than a guess, even if it is an educated guess. Regulatory requirements should be established based upon good science and rigorous evaluation. We can support the furtherance of the Fitzgerald hypothesis, but we cannot support the no net loading requirement until substantiating analysis and science has been completed. The no net loading does not belong in the NTDS permit. It should be reserved for the PMDL discussion when that is complete. Our preference is for the no net loading to be removed from the permit until the TMDL is complete. As an alternative, should the no net loading not be acceptable to the board, we would request that the compliance schedule be adjusted to follow the TMDL. In effect, saying, we'll do ours if you do yours. As I conclude, again, we appreciate the work of the staff. We have no problem with the 173-page permit, with the exception of the no net loading for phosphorus. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today.
Thank you, sir. Comments or questions? I have the speaker card also for David Richards, and I assume you're the wingman that's providing support. Do you have comments, sir?
No additional comment unless you give the opportunity to respond to Mr. Hale's question and suggestion.
Sure.
We did the.
Can you state your name for the record,
oh, yes,
please?
David Richardson with the RMC Water and Environment Consultant to the town. We did the analysis, and my associate Mary Cousins is here in the turquoise blouse. Mary and I analyzed the history of flow in Marquess Creek. The Windsor operational curve, as Kathy described, basically what Windsor does is we treat the water and irrigate it all summer long, and then come in fall, we start storing water so that it can be discharged at a percent rate of the Marquess Creek flow. And then during the winter time, we discharge while saving water for the next summer. So what happens is the Marquess Creek flow fluctuates radically. There's no dam upstream to control flow. So we see very low flow periods in October, November until the rains come and then it comes up. So what the 10% allows us to do is during those months of December, January, February, to be able to consistently discharge about the same amount every day to follow that storage curve so that we can have the maximum amount of water available then in May, June, July for irrigation. So it takes away the uncertainty that happens in the late winter when we're guessing about what the weather is going to be like. So we would love to have an exceedance curve and just be able to discharge at the exceedance curve, but because we're tied to a percentage of the creek flow, that the 10% allows us the flexibility, and we've modeled the dissolved oxygen levels and all of the water quality constituents. Even at low flow, 10% of that low flow is a very low flow, so we don't see any impairment.
Great, that helps. You know, I just want to make sure that was considered, because
yes,
you know, and not being familiar with what that hydrograph looks like annually, and just in other semi-coastal watersheds, you know, you do get, you know, big peak storms, and you have, you know, you can have lower dry spells in the wintertime, and so that those lower dry spells, which, you know, arguably before we had our rains just over the last couple of days, starting November 1, it's probably just as low as it was, you know, in October or maybe even August. So by being able to bump up to a 10% once that calendar date switches over, then you could be discharging a higher concentration or a higher volume to that same flow in the creek. That was where my concern was coming from. So although you do have the risk of those lower flow events are lower during that time period, you could still have those same low flow conditions. And so if staff's okay with it, then I'm okay with it. Just it wasn't communicated in the staff report to the detail that explained that analysis had been performed.
Yeah. And I think that's where the special study that we'll be conducting to look at dissolved oxygen upstream, downstream during discharge season, we'll be able to do the data gathering to demonstrate that, in fact, that previous analysis was valid. Also, I would like to put up, this is the wording that Richard was referring to, that if you do yours, we'll do ours. Basically, what our suggestion is that if you do not remove the no net loading, that we would just propose that our net loading requirement start kicking in once the TMDL is completed and the waste load allocation is set. And right now, that would happen for the town on October 1st, 2018, would be when our 10% reduction in phosphorus would hit. So we'd say, yes, we'll do it at that date, or wait until the TMDL is done, and then our dates would kick in from there.
Okay, any other comments or questions for these gentlemen? Thank you, gentlemen. Ms. Amelia Whitson.
So again, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, it's good afternoon this time. My name is Amelia Whitson. I'm with EPA Region 9. I've been the technical permitting liaison to the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board for the past 3 years. And as before, I'm very happy to be here to express my support for this permit. And once again, I'd just like to take the opportunity to commend your staff for their development of this permit and for their coordination efforts between the TMDL and NPS permits units. For Windsor, it's a slightly different situation, seeing as the no net loading limit for phosphorus is a new one, as opposed to one that was established in the previous permit. But the science behind setting the limit is the same. The Windsor, again, has reasonable potential to cause or contribute to an exceedance of an existing water quality objective in the basin plan for biostimulatory substances. And so to ensure compliance with the standard, the permit appropriately incorporates the no net loading for phosphorus final limit along with the compliance schedule. As was true for Santa Rosa, a performance-based or other concentration or mass-based limit for phosphorus would not be appropriate based on the research that's already been done by the TMDL unit. The no-net loading limit for phosphorus has been established to protect against exceedances of the objective within the lower Markwest Creek, not just in cases of backflow up to the laguna itself, the main stem laguna itself. And so this is an appropriate limit to be set for discharges in this particular area as well. I just also wanted to quickly mention, in response to the request to extend the compliance schedule to allow time to finalize the TMDL, that it's not allowable under federal law to establish a compliance schedule just to provide time to either revise water quality standards or finish a TMDL. So once again, thank you for the opportunity to provide comments in support of this permit.
Mr. Giesen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Just real quick, Amelia, can you revisit again, because Mr. Burt made a powerful argument for the location of discharge and the relationship to the laguna. He said something that I want to make sure I heard about the creek itself. So can you revisit that for me again?
So the water quality objective for biostimulatory substances is applicable to the lower Marquest Creek itself, not just the main stem Laguna. And so that was the basis for this water quality-based effluent limit. And I believe the TMDL unit may be speaking a little bit more about this later.
Any other comments or questions from you? Thank you, Amelia.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. I have two other speaker cards, Tony Bertolero.
I'm with the town of Windsor. I'll decline this time. Thank you.
All right. Second up is Mary Cousins.
Thanks.
Same. I have no other comment cards then. Speaker cards. Ms. Kathy Goodwin, would you come back up and talk to us, please? And we have the author of the famous now, Fitzgerald. But I guess you're speaking, you can go on. You can't roll your eyes when that's just it. Come on. Kathy, let me ask you, you've had comments today, and you want to respond to those? Anything that you've heard either from City Windsor, sorry, Town of Windsor, or anything else?
I wanted to start just very quickly by addressing Board Member Hill's question about the flow threshold. And Windsor said this, but as I was sitting, I realized, you know, that it would be important to let you know that the receiving water special study that we included in the permit, you know, is something that can help verify, you know, and address those concerns. And also that, you know, that Marquest Creek, you know, I mean, does have low flows, you know, when we don't get any rain, you know, but I think the hydrograph, you know, the 10% of the flows, you know, again, based on our discussions with TMDL staff, you know, didn't raise any, you know, immediate concerns. But that special study is going to be really helpful, you know, and if by chance it does raise any concerns, you know, we have the opportunity to address those at that time.
Yeah, I'd like a follow-up on that too, because I mean, we obviously know that you can range from an extremely wet water year to a critically dry water year, and hydrograph patterns, I mean, although you can predict general trends, they will change from year to year. So just to be on top of it via monitoring, to keep our eyes on it, that 10% just still is not sitting 100% comfortably with me, but I'm seeing comfort on your end, and it is certainly not, you know, through the body of work that's been done, I'm not going to let that derail this. So just noted and thank you.
And do you have any other thoughts on that, Rebecca?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Rebecca Fitzgerald, head of the TMDL unit of your staff. There were a few things that were raised, some points that I would like to address, if I may. We do have some data that's been collected in the lower Marquest Creek there at Trenton Healdsburg Road, their point of discharge, it's Town of Windsor's point of discharge. And it does pretty clearly indicate that we do have a condition of impairment in relation to the non-attainment of our dissolved oxygen objective and to our narrative biostimulatory substances objective. Just to demonstrate some of that, I can point you to the now infamous memo of mine put together by me and my staff, to whom deserve most of the credit for that. We have in there, in figure 5 of the memorandum, there is a figure that shows our minimum dissolved oxygen concentrations that we've measured, including at the site there at Trenton Healdsburg Road. Our minimums are not attaining our minimum DO objective. We also have data in that's shown, again, in that memorandum on page 9 in relation to total phosphorus concentrations. And I know that the figure is small, but one of the little objects there is relative to data collected there at Trenton Healdsburg Road, and does show that we have exceedances of total phosphorus in the water column, an exceedance of the, I believe that's the EPA ecoregion criterion, as well as the California nutrient numeric endpoint criterion. So in light of that, I just do want to say that we are seeing conditions of impairment at that discharge point in the lower Marquest Creek, and we are seeing it throughout the year, not just in the summertime, but also in the winter months. We see low DO levels that are of a concern to us. I will admit that it's true we don't fully understand the just the dynamics of the hydrology that happens in this complex system. We do know that there are times when water reverses course in the lower Laguna, or lower Marquess Creek and up into the Laguna main stem. We also know that there are areas where just the water backs up when we have high flows in the winter, both of which provide opportunities for phosphorus in their discharge to contribute to potential to the biostimulatory conditions in the watershed. I can get into more specifics on what we are looking at into the rate and fate of phosphorus if you would like, but at this point I think I'd like to leave it there and open it to see if you have any more questions.
Any other comments or questions? To address the town's essentially proposal then to have a compliance schedule that follows TMDL, it sounds like we cannot do that from a federal standpoint. However, I noticed that, you know, I initially saw 8 years as a compliance schedule, and I thought, wow, that's a heck of a long time, mm-hmm. right? We have a 5-year permit, right? But I understand, given the complexities of nutrient offset and the steps that are needed to go into the processes of pieces and parts of this thing, and that the time is needed. I'm also aware of the fact I'm looking, and I'm trying to find it again, the vastness of this thing, is that within the 5-year term that we're talking of this permit, generally complies, or lines, doesn't comply, but it lines out with, if I read this right, to the point where nutrient offset would be kicking in and being a requirement here, if I read it right. Again, I may be wrong on that. But the thing is, at the same time, I would say that this permit term is a 5-year permit term. This is going to come back in 5 years, and then that will, those two points will coincide. At the same time, my own personal wish is that in 5 years we do have effluent limits here out of the TMDL, and that I believe that, as I know the schedule now for the nutrient TMDL, that generally coincides with what a tentative schedule looks like. Do you have any comment to that?
We have every intention and every hope of having our Laguna de Santa Rosa nutrient DO sediment and temperature TMDL complete well before 5 years rolls around. I think that we are still looking at a few more years in order to bring it before you, but before this permit term expires, certainly.
Well, and it's not lost on us, I think, nor the regulated community here, that the lack of a TMDL, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, but just the fact that a TMDL is not in place here with effluent limits causes it has consequences to permits like this, point source discharge added to an impaired water body. And it's not fault, it's just fact. And Santa Rosa saw it this morning, and Windsor sees it now. And by the way, guys, you're not bad dogs out here. It's just the fact that you discharge to an impaired water body with federal and state requirements. So I see some alignment in this schedule. And again, my initial take on this schedule is about 8 years. Why would we take 8 years to get that out here? At this point, though, I'm rather settled that 8 years is probably needed here. It allows some things, hopefully, to coincide, and it allows us to get a TMDL done, this agency, to get a TMDL done out here, which I think would answer some of these questions. And I'm not so sure, by the way, that those answers at the end of the day are going to be the solving factor here. Effluent limits and load allocations that come out of that is yet to be determined. But it would be helpful to have that be in place so that everybody has a way to put a shoe on. Mr. Corbett.
If there are no other board comments, I'm prepared to make a motion that we adopt R1-2013-0042 as amended by staff.
Nice.
Second.
All those in favor?